In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Within the festival half of the liturgical year, baptism has always occupied an important place within the narrative of Jesus Christ. Within the exegetical context of the various Gospels, the baptism of Jesus likewise provides an important backdrop to understanding all that follows. Within that context, we might look at the wilderness setting. We might look at the relationship of John's baptism to other baptisms going on. I'm not so sure, however, that the baptism of Jesus has always received its due recognition of its importance within dogmatics. That is to say, I'm not sure that dogmatics has always reflected on the theological significance as much as it might have, even though all the Gospels make mention of it. Yes, to be sure, the baptism of Jesus signals the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, and thus it represents an important step in the mission of Jesus. But is there more that we might say about it? On the one hand, the Creed would seem to offer little help on this matter. The narrative of the Creed gives us the three significant events or moments within the storyline of Jesus, as if to say, whatever else you need to know about Jesus, to unlock the significance of his life, the meaning of his life for us, whatever else you might say, you need to know something about his incarnation and birth, suffering and death, resurrection and exaltation. And yet, if we use that creedal narrative and realize that the baptism of Jesus is placed between his incarnation and his suffering, the baptism of Jesus furnishes then a significant piece of data for faith, a piece of datum that further unfolds the mission and plan of God. For you see, in the incarnation, the pre-incarnate Son of God united himself with us. The Creator identified himself with his human creatures by taking on the body of a man, a human nature. As the Creed puts it, he came down from heaven and became man, a complete human being. But in that context, the baptism of Jesus takes us even a step further. Not only does the pre-incarnate Son of God come down from heaven and become incarnate in human form, in human flesh, but in the baptism of Jesus, the sinless, incarnate Son of God enters into, unites himself with, and identifies himself with sinful humankind. He does so not by taking on human flesh, but by now submitting himself to the decisive judgment of God. This is the point, I think, that Mark brings out so dramatically. In verse 8, he introduces Jesus indirectly with the words of John the Baptist regarding the coming one whose thongs he is unworthy to tie, the coming one who will baptize with the Spirit of life. Suddenly, Jesus appears on the scene in verse 9, seeking John's baptism. This brings out the incarnate one's mission, I think, in a dramatic way. The one who will baptize with the life-giving Spirit is the one who now submits himself to the judgment of God. His mission is to endure the judgment of God from which a new Israel will emerge. He is willing to bear the brunt of that judgment. And to that end, the baptism of Jesus for repentance expresses a vicarious satisfaction of sin on the part of Jesus on behalf of the many. The rending of the heavens, the descent of the Spirit, the declaration of God does not alter the status of Jesus, but it does indicate the cosmic significance of Jesus' submission and affirms God's good pleasure in it. In this way, the going down into the water, the rending of the heavens, the descent of the Spirit, all anticipate the forthcoming suffering, death, and resurrection of Christ. The voice announces that Jesus is a unique Son, the object of God's elective love. We might summarize it this way. Because you are my unique Son, I have chosen you for the task upon which you are about to enter. It is the highlight of Mark's prologue regarding John and Jesus. It provides the indispensable backdrop for his gospel. In his death and resurrection, though, we must push even further. For you see, three events, Jesus' baptism, his death and resurrection, and our baptism, are all united. They are all bound together. Jesus' baptism and the approval on the part of the Father anticipates his death and vindication in the resurrection. Our baptism looks back to that death and resurrection. Jesus' baptism commits him to that death and resurrection. Our baptism commits us to Jesus' death and resurrection. And so his baptism and our baptism are then bound together in the event of his enduring the judgment of God upon the cross and subsequent vindication in his resurrection. And therein, we also come forth. As his baptism plunged him into that future, our baptism plunged us into that past and also into his future. So he tied his future to our future and our past, and our baptism ties us to his past and his future. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.